Indeed, it's the Dave Charles Show, 26 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Wednesday. I'm in conversation with Lindy Elms from Wildlife Rescue. Lindy has set up Wildlife Rescue in Ballito on her own, and she has a team of volunteers. But there's so much going on that I'm sure you could do with a lot more help, a lot more, not only volunteers that are available. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, people that are volunteers tend not to always be available, and that's a problem because you carry the responsibility, and people now lock into that, and thank heavens for you, because where else would one turn? You can't really expect the SPCA to respond to a wild creature, or any other organization for that matter. So it's a very valuable service that you're providing, and you're doing it voluntarily. How do you fund it?
So, Dave, we don't charge a call-out fee because people may tend not to call it in if they think, oh, I'm not going to pay a call-out fee for that. So we don't charge a call-out fee at all. Some people offer a donation, but it's not sustainable. We need to get companies involved that can maybe do a monthly debit order for us. We do a lot of events, fundraising events, which is a lot of hard work. It's, again, time-consuming. I do have an amazing fundraising lady that's joined us. She's been incredible, really life-changing for me. And my social media lady has been phenomenal. But it's a hands-on work. Our facilities, we've broken ground. We've got two containers.
I was going to say, you've done the impossible, really. You've managed to secure some land. You've got a container, you've got a fence, it's remarkable because all of that is extraordinarily expensive, but you've managed to get it donated, and there are good people in the area.
Absolutely, there are amazing people in the area that have really stepped up and made this happen because we knew we don't have the funds for the facility, but the people that have stepped up and worked on the facility and used their own time, they've been amazing. So I think what's needed is a strong rescue team that people can commit to maybe a day or an hour, in that time be committed to being available for rescue.
So important, because you were saying that you've done how many rescues in the last 24 hours?
Probably 7 or 8. This morning I've already been on 2, and my last one last night was 10:45.
What was happening at 10:45 last night?
So that was a domestic. It was just a call. It was coordinating vets and after hour vets and where to go and how to manage it. So that I didn't have to go out for, but I've been out twice this morning so far.
Gee, so your time really isn't your own. You are on call 24/7, 7 days a week, and that's absolutely remarkable. You're affiliated with a bigger organization, CROW.
Yes, so I'm a depot for CROW. We work more in partnership on the facility with them. Anything I get, I'm permitted to hold by Ezimvelo Wildlife. I've got my TOPS permits. I'm permitted to hold for 7 days or up to 7 days, and whatever I've got, CROW collects for me once a week. If it's an emergency and it's a young animal or an injured animal that needs attention and rehabilitation, they'll come and collect. They are amazing. They've been phenomenal.
I noticed you'd been involved in the rescue of monkeys, or a monkey, I'm not sure if it was plural, excuse me, that had been held captive by someone, either for sale or entertainment. Is this something that occurs frequently?
Not that often, Dave, and that normally happens in the townships because I think they've got a little monkey that they're going to catch and play with and keep, and then we get called out a little bit later to say, oh, this monkey's really causing trouble, it's killing our chickens, it's eating our food, and they've done this to the monkey. So that's really a difficult one, and CROW does take those little ones on and rehabilitates them, gets them, wilds them up, gets them into a troop, and last year CROW successfully released 4 troops of monkeys permitted and legally permitted to. So phenomenal. But it's a big job to try and get a tame monkey back into, and not fair on that little monkey.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are tempted to, I think, well, isn't it cute? Isn't it wonderfully cute? They are so human-like. I want a monkey. You've heard that, I'm sure, many times. And a lot of people have tried. Is it a good idea?
Oh, not at all, not at all. So I also used to think it's really cute to hold these little babies and keep them for a little while and then pass them on to CROW. But it's, the thing is, it's just lost its mom, and then it connects to you, and then it's got to lose you, and then it's got to go. So as soon as I get a baby, and I take that day, it goes straight up to Crow. So that there's not that double breaking bond. Yeah, and the more I do, the more I learn. So you do what you do until you know better, then you do better.
And for those that still continue to keep wild creatures as pets, not a good idea.
No, not fair. All around, it's not fair. And a baby monkey, as you say, is very cute until it's about 4 months old, and then it's chaos. Because that's their nature. So they.
But I think the same applies to any wild
creature.
Any
wildlife. You
know, reptile or mammal. And it's also illegal. One has to point this out.
100%.
As is causing harm to these creatures. I believe that there have been several instances of people in the area that have been found or certainly identified as causing harm deliberately to wild creatures. What are the penalties?
So there's a lot of pellet gun shooting. That I know is a 5-year jail sentence, and there's a heavy fine. I don't know what the fine is, but the thing is to get somebody to witness it, to have, you need a video, you need a dead monkey with a pellet in, you know, somebody with, so it's almost impossible to get somebody convicted for shooting monkeys. The thing is, they don't kill them, they injure them, and I get called out to pick them up and have them euthanized and hold them while they die, and that's the hardest part for me. If a monkey gets knocked over and it has to get euthanized, it's not deliberate, but when somebody picks up a gun and shoots a monkey and I get called out to pick up the pieces, it's devastating.
Now, clearly one can, well, I don't sympathize, but I understand the mentality of someone who feels that the monkeys are causing them distress, because monkeys do what they do, and they forage and they look for food, and if you happen to have a window that's open and a bowl of fruit, they'll probably pop in and help themselves, and that might be extremely frustrating. And then when they get frightened because you've overreacted, they might cause some sort of disturbance in your home and damage things, and so now there's a war. How do you deal with monkeys that you don't want popping in for a free meal? What is the safest, kindest way?
It's really easy. I've got in my complex, we've got two troops that come past. I leave my windows open because I've got nothing inside that they want. I don't have a fruit bowl because they are going to come in for fruit. They are going to forage. I don't leave anything out for them. I have got a plush toy that I put in front of my window with big eyes, and they're scared of that. They don't come in because
oh, really?
Of that. It's as simple as that. So I do have a cornerstone, flower screens.
Oh, yeah.
And on the windows that I like to keep open. And it's really simple. So we also do educational talks. If somebody's got an issue with the monkeys, we'll come to your house. We'll have a look what's there. If you're feeding the birds, you're feeding the monkeys. So there's a lot
which is unfortunate, because
it is unfortunate.
Putting down a bird feeder is sort of as old as the story of humanity. Because you want to be kind and create opportunities to see the birds and to look after them. And food is core critical, especially with the diminishing resources. But clearly the monkeys are part of the cycle, and they think that's great. It's a smorgasbord. I heard that if you have a water pistol, that's pretty effective as well.
100%, and it's harmless. It's not going to hurt them. So there's a lot of things that you can do. I mean, when I go out into the troops and I have to remove a monkey from a troop, an injured monkey, I literally have a little blanket that I chase them off with. I take nothing else, just a little blanket, and I can keep the whole troop off with me with a little blanket.
Wow.
And I mean, my friends have seen this, so I just don't have it on video.
Now, clearly the monkeys are front and center when it comes to the work that you do, but you also, you've rescued many other creatures as well. Among them, I'm sure you get a lot of calls for little antelope that are seen on the verges in the streets in Valletta. Many of those are not lost or looking for help at all, but people don't understand that and they want to rescue them, which is about the worst thing you can do.
Absolutely, Dave, because they're in that area, they're fully grown, most of them. If it's a baby, it's a different story, but if it's a fully grown antelope, it knows the area, it's its home. You can't now remove it and go and put it into a state. Firstly, you need permits for that. You can't just pick up any antelope, and the states can't accept any antelope that, unless it's theirs, and you can't prove it's theirs. But if it's in a residential area, it lives there. if it's in a garden where there's dogs, we try and get it out the garden and back into a green belt. On the roads, we try and move it off the roads, but they know where they are. They know.
And you've just raised a very interesting point about green belts. We have so few of them now in Ballito. And those that we still have and are fortunate enough to still have seem to be under threat constantly. I know that the Townsend Park matter, there was a time when there was going to be a development on a section, the Butterfly Park section of Townsend Park, beautifully treed and greened area. That, at the moment, has been successfully opposed, but there's always the threat. Then there's the Zen Park matter, which is also very much front and center, where there's going to possibly be a development of a school on the green belt, which is not proclaimed part of the park, although it has become very much part of the park, but it's still technically designated educational, and that's a problem. What is your view about that?
Sure, I try not to get involved in those kind of things because my view, firstly, is if that does happen, I'm going to be really busy getting fetching animals that are displaced, orphaned, injured.
Are there animals in that green belt?
Definitely, 100% definitely. I mean, we've seen them there. There's monkeys, bush babies, owls. There's blue duiker. There's red duiker. This grey darker.
Who would have thought in a small area like that, so much
wild. There's nowhere else for them to go. So
and then there are the smaller creatures as well that are not as spectacular, but they're just as important.
The lizards, the chameleons, even the insects, the birds. It's
well, it's an entire biodiversity, and if you damage it, the knock-on effect is massive. And of course, at the end of that is the people that enjoy being able to experience what is still available right now. So it's an ongoing story, and we'll watch that one very closely. But getting back to you and your organization, raising awareness and particularly trying to raise the wherewithal to keep going. It's a tough ask constantly, and in times that are not necessarily flourishing economically, it must be even tougher. But you're managing. You've got an event coming up shortly. How well supported is that event?
Dave, it's normally full. We normally fill fill seats. I think it only seats 80 people, but we normally fill it.
Let's just describe what the event is.
Okay, so it's music bingo. We have got a classical violin that's playing on entrance, and we've got an amazing MC that's going to spoil us with a lot of humor. And
who's that?
That's Teresa Gill.
Okay.
Yes, and then we've got Panda Belly Entertainment that does the music bingo for us. We're also fantastic. So it's a lot of fun, and we have a three-item auction, which is really quick and easy, but we've got really amazing items, including accommodation, away, beautiful bedside lamps made of wood, float wood, amazing items to auction this next event.
And how does one find out about the next event and book in advance and make sure that you can get in?
So if you phone Beechwood Hotel, you can do your booking there.
Oh, so there might still be seats.
Yes, we only opened the bookings a little bit late because we got the advertising out a little bit late, which is fine. Belito leaves everything late last minute, so I'm sure we will fill it.
So when is this event coming?
This is next week, Tuesday, the 3rd of March.
Ah, so you've got about a week, just under a week.
Lots of
fun. To clear your diary. And this is great fun. I've been to one of your events. They are extraordinarily super. And of course, for such a good cause, I really urge you if you have. And a lot of people coming into Ballito are saying, how do we meet people?
Yes.
It's so difficult to. Well, this is a perfect opportunity to meet lovely people, those that like-minded people that care about the environment and the work that you're doing. And I salute you. I think you're doing a remarkable job. And we're very happy to be wherever we can in support. So if you keep us in the loop, wherever you need a bit of publicity.
Thank you, Dave.
We're here for you.
Thank you. Really appreciate that. You've been amazing. Thank you.
Well, till the next time, my very special guest, Lindy Elms from Wildlife Rescue, where you see that you have an opportunity to support an event that puts money in the coffers, goes to such a good cause. Please be generous and be kind and support. Thanks for joining me on the Dave Charles Show. This will be up as a podcast, so if you want to share the love, you're most welcome. Thanks again, Lynn.
Thank you, Dave.